The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the Frisky Business Podcast are based on our personal experiences as Family Resource Youth Service Center coordinators. They do not necessarily reflect the official policies, positions, or required duties of the Division of Frisk. This podcast is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only.
2025, fellas, and we are still going strong, man. Frisky Business Podcast is back for another episode. How are we doing today, guys?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited. Let's get this party started.
I'm ready for this weather. To go away. I know you all didn't get any snow, but we got way too much. I probably should have drove it in. So you're welcome.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even know it was supposed to snow. Like that text you sent this morning, like the road's good up by you guys. I'm like, yeah, Dave. I feel like David's response was like, "Duh, what do you mean?"
I was like, "Oh, I guess we're the only ones that got snow." I thought everybody got it, but I guess not. Us in Frankfurt.
Sorry if that sounded a little harsh when I texted that, but I'm like, "Yeah, of course the roads are fine."
In bed after I saw that text, I was like, "You know what? I'm not going."
Well, then you didn't respond for a little bit, and I was like, "He said 8:30, and it was like 8:45," and I was like, "He's gonna tell us if he's not coming, right?"
Yeah. You want to know what I was doing? I was getting the snow off my car.
Well,
diet, roads are fine. All right, I'm gonna go clean the car.
You could have just given us an update or something. I need a play-by-play.
Well, I was in a hurry. I didn't realize I was gonna have snow on my car.
There's voice to text.
Okay.
We're talking about technology and whatnot, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, it's been a little bit, brand new year, and obviously. Our last episode was New Year's resolutions, kind of fun little bit. Mm-hmm. What's been going on with you guys since we haven't been able to meet, you know, Christmas break, and then we had that random week of snow that actually had me so bored. I was surprised I was bored over a snow day week, but how was your all's time off?
Technically, we worked. We work from home. We didn't do NTI, but you know, there's still days that we have to do work, but we couldn't go anywhere. So we just worked from home and, you know, did that. And then I also took advantage of time with my kids. You know, we went sledding, made some snowmen, had some snowball fights. It was a good time. Good time.
Yeah. I mean, having that, it was odd. Like I was at that point with the whole snow days and everything. I was like, man, I'm just ready to be back in the building. I want the kids. So I was kind of like maybe on the other end of the spectrum than a lot of people. I was just like ready for the kids to be back at school. I was ready to be like back in the building, being around the kids, being around the teachers, seeing everybody. And I was just ready for life to be back to normal. So when we had the snow days last week and having the extra time to be in the house, I was like, yeah, it's great. I love the snow. And I'm loving it, like being able to take my kids sledding because I got to take my kids sledding for the very first time. She had never been sledding before. And so
hadn't had enough snow since because she's younger, super young.
Yeah. I mean, from the time that she's been with us, and for those that are just now hearing this for the first time, my daughter is adopted. And so she's been in our family for almost 4 years now. And so during the time we've had her, we just haven't had enough snow to go sledding. And so to be able to actually do that was a blast. And here's the funny thing. I think it was Monday night. I took her outside to go play in the snow. And I was like, all right, well, we'll walk around. We'll go to the back alley and see, you know, kind of how everything looks back there. Because I'm like, I'm going to have to dig out some of this snow so I can actually get my vehicle out. Because I got park in the garage that goes in the alley. I go back there, and there's these tire tracks from this big truck that had come through. And so these two perfect lanes, and I was like, we have this little downhill in our alley. I was like, I wonder if this will work. So I went, got some string, tied it to the sled, and I just started pulling her like back a little bit. Started back, and I ran and just slew her down. Hey, man, she was just having a blast. And by like the middle of the week, it was like a little bit of snow with a lot of ice, so it was just like flying right down there. Like I still had to give her a little bit of pull to get going, but man, she was flying down that hill in the back alley. I never thought that. I was like, man, I'm gonna have to take you somewhere to go sledding. But no, I can just take you to the back alley
right there
and just sledge it right down.
So by the end of the week, was she like getting antsy, like ready to get out?
Oh, yeah. Every single night, I was like, hey, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to go sledding. And so it was really heartbreaking yesterday. She's like, I want to go sledding. And I'm like, I'm sorry, baby. Like, we can't go sledding. And I'm like, things are starting to melt. It's all slush. So I took her out back just so she could see and understand, like, we can't go. And she was so heartbroken and devastated by that. But, man, it was a blast on that side being able to go sledding with her. But on the work side of things, I was like, man, I'm just ready to be back in the building.
Yeah, I don't think I've gone sledding since high school. Like, whenever we used to get groups together and go over to Juniper Hills and stuff, like, I haven't been sledding since then. But, man, like, basketball season is obviously going on right now for me. So a lot of what I do outside of normal job hours is always coaching. And so we got a new superintendent this year, and he's great. And I think that a lot of things that we were accustomed to beforehand, especially when we were in high school, is like, you know, snow day, if it's bad, you're not going to practice. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Monday came around, and I was like, all right, cool. Like, I didn't expect to practice on Monday. We kind of all knew that was going to happen, but we were supposed to have a game on Tuesday. No idea if we were going to get to play or not, but we were under the impression that there was a good chance that, like, most of the snow was going to be gone. Well, it wasn't. And of course, that caused for school to be out. Well, we had got the message. I think usually the district waits until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon to make that call for whether or not we get to participate in the after school activities, whether that be practice or a game. And at 1 o'clock, they sent out the message like, hey, all after school activities are canceled. All right, cool. It's Monday, Tuesday. Like, you know, part of me was like, all right, like, I'm kind of happy I get to hang out at home for another day and recoup. We had had a tough loss the weekend before. So like, this was a good reset for the coaches, the players, and everybody to get going. But we were under the impression that on Wednesday, we're back. Wednesday rolls around after we had rescheduled the game, got canceled again. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird, but whatever, dude. Like, I trust you. Like, maybe I'm not looking at the holistic picture. And like, you know, there's people elsewhere that can't get to specific locations. So I'm not going to say that I'm right because I can get out of my driveway right now. Trying to be respectful. Thursday rolls around. Staff is officially back in the building. We were told to come in as a district to begin to prepare for NTI. Backtracking a little bit, apparently there was speculation that we weren't going to be in school the entire week, regardless of what was going on. So Thursday, we all come in. We're expecting for things again to get back to normal. We rescheduled that game again for Thursday. 1 o'clock rolls around. I'm texting our head coach. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Are we playing? Are we not playing? He's like, I have no idea. I haven't heard anything yet. 1:10, message comes out. All afternoon activities are canceled. So I'm starting to lose my mind. Like, I would have never thought in 1,000 years of coaching that you're telling me I get a week off to be able to go home directly after work or not leave my house at all. I was bored. So bored. I was like, this tells me like what age I'm at where I'm having my own free time and I'm bored of being at home. So finally, Friday rolls around, get canceled again. We're all antsy. And the JV tournament was supposed to take place on Sunday. So all the other districts around us were going back to school. Mm-hmm. They were having athletic activities. The kids were playing games. The kids were practicing. If they didn't have games, all the other schools that we were going to compete against on Sunday were practicing or having games. Well, us, Connor, and Cooper were all supposed to play on Sunday. We're all like, hey, like, we can't show up to this game on Sunday not having played for 9 days, mm-hmm, and also not having practice. So they finally let us in on Saturday. And when I tell you, like, it was like a breath of fresh air. I felt like this was like a miniature COVID, like being shut down from the world. Like, we couldn't do anything, man. I know I use that phrase lightly, and I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form. But just the sheer fact that, like, we could not have any type of activities was so crazy to me. That's and wild. So, like you, I was so glad to get back into the building. So glad when Monday rolled around and they were like, no matter what, we are having school. I was like, thank you. Like, I need that, like, just normality back. And yeah, I've changed, like, the way that I do things and stuff now, too. So, super happy to be back.
You almost had, like, a borderline, like, mental.
I was going to have a breakdown, man. I tell you, it was close to a breakdown. I've never been so just bored beyond belief trying to get, like, I took 2 days off to kind of, like, extend my break a little bit. And like I said, that was Monday, Tuesday, but by Wednesday, yeah, I'm like the dog that's sitting outside or sitting at the window sill, just looking outside, like waiting for things to melt so I can leave. It was horrible.
Did you all join in on that snow angel challenge that was going around?
No, nope. Man. Nobody challenged me on that. I saw the post and yeah, I was like, nope, nobody better do that to me because I ain't going.
I was even careful, like, do I like it? Do I not? Do I like it? Do I not? Because I'm like, I don't want to run. I don't want to get challenged to go outside and do it. Because I'm like, no, I don't want to go out there and like freeze. I'm like, it's bad enough. They're like, yeah, I like the cold, but man, I like to have my clothes on when I go outside. Yeah.
Well, Barrett got challenged by one of his buddies at school, yeah, and so he was like, he didn't want to do it by himself. So I was like, well, if you challenge me, I'll do it with you. But I mean, I was fully clothed. Like, I had certain t-shirts. Oh, you think I'm getting in the snow? But no, not happening. Not happening. But it was all ice when we did it anyway. So it wasn't too bad. Didn't stick to us.
I did see that video, and that was awesome that you did.
I think like you said, I looked at it. I don't remember if I liked it or not, but I was like, I'm going to give it a few days so he doesn't get any ideas. Because I knew, I was like, Marcus is the type of person that would immediately, if I like it, he's, oh, I'm challenging.
I probably would've.
And I was like, no.
I probably would've.
Not going to happen.
He's like, I'll remake the video so I can.
I'll do it again. Look, I told you, I'll do them again.
We ain't got no snow up here. It's a mud challenge now, and I ain't going out there. Sorry. Sorry.
Ridiculous.
Well, like I said, super excited for the kids to be back in school. So now that kind of leads to the second semester. You know, now we're getting into the final run of things. But I think one of the things that we wanted to talk about today is programming. I think that's something that around this time of the year, we try to figure out, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what could we do in the future that might be a little bit better. For some people that like to get ahead of the game and do their INRs, some people like to do that halfway throughout the course of the year. So what does programming look like for you guys? I think it looks different amongst everybody, districts, personnel, things like that. How do you guys go about, you know, what you all do in your centers?
Programming wise, I started off, let's see here, because it's such a wide range of where we're going with this. I know we kind of talked about this ahead of time. But when I think of programming in general, at the very beginning of, I guess not even really the summer, it's like now I'm already starting to think about next school year, kind of just what you talked about. Is of what worked and what didn't work. So I'm already looking at programming from the fall right now here in the spring. All right, what worked and didn't work, and can I use it next fall? And then I'm also factoring other things coming up for us. Like, I know there's a potential, high potential, of construction going on. So that's going to impact me next year in my building, with construction going on. Like, what am I able to do? What can I bring in, can't bring in, along those lines. So with the programming on that side, I think definitely long-term, like, I'm thinking ahead a lot. When it comes to like the INR report and doing some of those evaluations, I do that on paper and I'll start to go through and just knock that off. Am I great at it? No. It's usually about like every 3 months. I'm like, oh, yeah. Let me fill that out. Yep, I've done that. Have I done that? Yep, have I done that? Nope, not yet. That's coming up. Okay. And so I always wait until June and I actually go into our website that we all use, that database, and I actually update the grant and do the INR and fill it all out. But on paper, I'll start there and get better at that. Every year, I get a little bit better at, like, marking stuff down. Like, oh, I did that program. This is how successful it was. If I was doing a pre and post survey, did I do those? I'm really good at my post surveys, trying to really work on getting better at my pre surveys. Because it's always like, I do a program, I know it's going to be great, I know it's going to be awesome. And then it's like, I get done with everything, I'm like, oh, did I do those? No, I didn't. So really having to get better at that. And that's a continual thing. Yeah. I mean, we all do that as we're doing this like review of our programming. We're always looking back of like, all right, how do I improve to get better? And that's even in ourselves. How do we get better at being even better programmers for the programs, for our students, and then also for ourselves. So for our students and for ourselves, we're always constantly looking back at things. And if you're not doing that or you're new, like that's one of those big things that you can take away from this conversation is starting to look at reviewing a programming is not just for the students and for like your grant, but it's also for you. It helps you out immensely. And that's what I've noticed. So
let me ask, like, so you, and you said that you, because I'm kind of in that same boat where you're looking forward to either the end of this year or the start of next year. Like, how far out do you all plan your events? Does that make sense? So like, if I'm planning something for March, when do you all start planning that event? And I know it depends on, like, it's case by case, like the bigger the event, the more farther out you're going to plan it. But like, aside from financial and your grant and money, how far out do you all start planning that stuff?
I think it depends for me, like what specifics that I'm trying to focus on. I think something that I've learned here specifically is that in some capacity, the programs that you run, it depends on who you're tailoring it to. So for example, like if I'm doing any of my after school enrichment activities, I can probably plan that with the adults 2-3 months in advance. But in terms of getting access and information from the kids, the attention span is a little bit shorter. And so it's a lot harder for me to say, okay, I'm going to get my list of kids in a month in advance. And then by the time the program starts, half of them have forgotten that they had even signed up. And I think that's something that I've experienced here so far. Take Big Smiles, for example, right? I had scheduled the Big Smiles dates back in October. They weren't originally set up for that specific date. And when I reached out, I was like, hey, I need some type of date in the second half of the semester. At what point do you think that we could get you guys to come in? So I had them coming in January 30th and 31st. I didn't send out my signups for that program until last week, solely because I know if I had sent it out in December, people wouldn't have, they would have said, oh, I've got a month before I can sign up, or, you know, they'll forget that it's even there. And so I was originally concerned, like, I'm probably not going to get that many people. They told me as of Friday, we had 51 students that were signed up to have some type of dental assistance in the 2 days that they come in. And that's just like, we still have next week and the week after, the couple days after for them to sign up. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have a massive amount, but I think in terms of like when to start planning, it all depends on the program. Like I've got some summer stuff that I'm already talking with the businesses about wanting to do. But I'm not going to go and tell the kids like, hey, this is something I'm planning on doing in the summer. Yeah. They're not going to remember by next week.
The second you mentioned like, yeah, we're doing this, and they're gone.
Gone immediately.
If it's not tomorrow, next week, they don't
care. Exactly. But I do think you're right. It depends on how big the program is altogether. Our transition night program, like I won't start planning that until probably closer towards the end of the year. We had such a good success with it last year, running it right before the school year started. And so knowing how things have gone in the past, and I think you can utilize that to your advantage as well. If it's a program that you've ran before, see how it went.
Yeah.
And determine when you need to plan based off of that. Like if you ran it and it went great, don't change anything just for the sake of changing it or saying that you changed it. But if there was a little bit of struggles in terms of like maybe food or participation or something like that, it's like, okay, if I had done this at this particular time, would that have increased my participation or increased the consistency of people that attend? So yeah, it just depends on what the program is. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to determine when to start planning,
But I definitely think there's a like ideology behind how efficient you are with your planning opposed to when you do it. There's some people that could probably plan a program in a week and it'd be the best thing that's ever happened.
It's like buying last minute gifts. It's the best time to do it.
Exactly. Why go out on Christmas Eve? Like, why not?
Refresh your health.
That's right.
Also, something I was curious about when you were talking, David, just thinking about the idea behind like what programming looks like, and maybe Marcus, you can answer this too. Do you all work with some of your building staff to determine programming, or do you target your kids more? Like, I feel like at middle and high school, like we probably look at what our kids like to do more, but for you, where it's more parent driven, like how do you go about programming?
So a lot of it just depends on your population, right? Your community and what your community needs. And, you know, we talked about it before, you know, you do your needs assessment or you do whatever kind of assessment you need to do to see what your community needs the most. But there are some things that we all want to do, like to do, want to test out. And, you know, we just want to see if it picks up or not. And so one of those things, especially at the elementary level, we do a lot of sports, a lot of clubs, a lot of extracurricular activities. And sometimes those sports and clubs depends on, do you have sponsors or volunteers for, right? So like, one thing we do, we got a basketball team and we have a teacher that is really into basketball and their kids play basketball. So they want to coach it. They want to sponsor it. We let them have it. Same with like pickleball and soccer and volleyball and all those things. And so sometimes we do ask the students kind of like what they want to see more of. But it's more of an informal way being in elementary school. And aside from asking the parents, like, you know, do you all want to see more extracurricular activities or do you all feel like there's a little bit of a need for food insecurities and things like that? But I say that we do depend on our staff a lot to see the things that they want to do and then try to bring that to the table. Like one of our new things that we got this year, we got a step team. We have a couple of schools in our elementary cluster, I guess, in our area that has a step team. So it's our first time doing it this year. We had it as a club last year, and there's a lot of interest from the kids, and so we made it into a team this year. And so, you know, it's something that we have staff available to teach and to coach. So, yeah, a lot of it does depend on what our staff like to do and want to do. And on top of that, you don't want to have staff doing stuff they don't want to do or don't like to do because they won't put the time and energy into making it successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. What about you, David? Do you do anything different with the high school students or?
For me, because I'm thinking back to the time with elementary, is like you have more of that availability to do things even after school. As with high schoolers, I'm noticing that my kids are plugged into a lot of different things. Kids are going off and getting jobs, they're going home. And some of them, it's like, all right, school's over with. I don't want to be at school. Like, it's a struggle enough to like, hey, come to school. So for me, I've noticed at least for last year and this year, I've been really like looking at my staff, like how do I bring in programming resources to my students during the school day? So it's been a lot of partnering with my teachers and finding what teachers are going to be willing to let me come into their classroom and bring something in. And I find stuff that is within my grant and I tie it into like what they're doing already to increase it more. And so it's just taking the quality and just making it better. And I see that it's not saying that what my teachers are doing is not high quality. It's just, I'm finding ways to partner. That's really what I'm getting at, is I'm finding ways to partner and make things happen for the kids in an environment that they're already in. And that comes down to timing. Just time is so valuable for myself, for my teachers, for my students. And so I'm with making those connections with my teachers and finding ways to bring those programs in during the school is a way to use timing effectively. So like one of the things that I did last year, and I'm doing this year, and it seems like we're going to keep doing it every year if we can, is I'm partnering up with my PE teachers to do PE takeover, where basically they're allowing me to come in and take over like what they're doing with their students. And so last year it was just 2 days. where I had one PE class per day, and they got to experience wheelchair basketball through school aid. And so I had Jake come in, and he talked to all the classes for that one PE teacher that day, and they all got to experience it. And then the next day was the other class. Well, this year we've decided to up it, and we're doing like a whole week on resiliency. And so we're going to be doing that in February. And so like the first 2 days, the teachers, I'm working on a lesson with them around resilience and around the book, The Coffee Bean, by John Gordon and Damon West. And so using that book to help teach resilience and how to handle hard times and situations. And then the last 2 days of that week, because we have a 4 day week that week, is that on those last 2 days is school aid's going to come in again. And so on the day that they're not in the gym with school aid, I've got an Army recruiter who's coming in to talk to the kids about mental resilience and physical resilience. So one day they'll hear from the Army recruiter about that, and then the other day they'll get experience school aid and wheelchair basketball. I've already talked to Jake and Ian about, like, hey, this is our topic for the week. Can you make sure, like, as we're doing wheelchair basketball, that we're hitting this topic hard? And so they're going to bring that up and tie that into the lesson with wheelchair basketball and just overcoming hard times and what that looks like. So I'm excited about it. It's really a great thing. But I explained all that to go back to what you guys were originally asking of, like, how do you determine programming? And for me, is I'm figuring out, how do I reach my students? And sometimes that's getting input from teachers, admin, and from the community through the survey that we send out when we're writing our grant. I mean, I'm still looking back at last year's of notes and stuff from when I wrote the grant. Like, all right, what do the parents want their kids to experience? What do they want them to be able to grow in? And so that's where I'm pulling a lot of my notes from to help me bring this program to students.
This episode of the Frisky Business Podcast is brought to you by School Aid. School Aid provides a variety of programming that is both engaging and informative while including hands-on opportunities for students. If you're looking to enhance your engagement nights or student programs, look no further. Check out all they have to offer at schoolaid.com.
Yeah, and sometimes you just got to, you know, pull some of the vents out of your butt, right? So, like, if you want to try something that's brand new, sometimes, like, the kids, the parents, they don't know what you can bring to the table. And if you want to bring a brand new event, like, hey, I got this brand new event, I'm coming in, I don't need any data, I just want to see if y'all like it, and then just move on from there, you know? So, yeah, trial and error, see what the community needs.
Yeah, I've done that too, during the time of being a coordinator. I mean, sometimes that's all you got to do, just trial and error, see what works.
That's literally how my success was at Connor with after school programs was, you know, the anime group was, hey, I like anime. I hear there's kids that like anime in our school. I'm going to see if there are kids that want to do it. And next thing I know, I've got a 3-year program for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that all provide different aspects of it. Same thing with the after school group, like just getting a bunch of kids together and playing dodgeball, kickball to give them something to do after school. Yeah. I think like that is part of it too. Like, yes, we are obviously going to look at the stats and see what it is that our school needs. But at the same time, like, that's not the only thing you have to do. Like, we can have fun too, mm-hmm. folks. Like, that needs to be clear. Like, I think a lot of people don't understand that in some concept is that, like we need to enjoy this job as well. And as much as we enjoy helping people, there's just as much enjoyment in running some of these after school opportunities for kids. I look forward to the days that I have some type of after school program just because I know it gets me a chance to meet some kids that I may not get to see yeah. throughout the course of the day or whatever that looks like. So
not everything has to be formal. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you don't have to, like, everything doesn't have to be data driven. Like, just go have fun with the kids.
And even some of those fun things, you can have that become data driven.
Yeah.
Who knows? Some of those kids, I think, and I know, I don't know if I can say, like, I won't obviously use names or anything, but just in terms of students that were in my previous anime group, I know 2 of those kids are now in, or got accepted into Ignite. And so, like, who knows if that little bit of information, like, were they going, like, you obviously can't say, like, were they going to get in beforehand, but like, it's kind of cool to see that list come out.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, I you worked with those kids for through sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And now they're getting a chance to go to one of the, like, most outstanding schools in the area. So it's just cool stuff like that. I did want to tie in a piece here, like, as we're looking at the second half of the school year and programming and things like that. Let's mix these two in together. It's a little bit off script, but what are some struggles that you guys have had with programming, and like, how do you all allow that to kind of incentivize you to make your second half better?
I'd say attendance on some of these programs. So, I mean, we've all been there where we spend all this time, spend all this money making these, in our mind, these great programs. And even if it is data driven, like, the community said that we need this program to take place. So you're like, let's do it. Let's get all this stuff done, and we'll have this program. And two people show up, three people show up, however many people show up, but it's not the participation that you anticipated. so we had one event in the fall. It was a form of job or career fair, right? And it was for elementary kids. And so we had all these local vendors, all these local jobs come in, talking about the things that they wanted to do, things that they could do, and ways to reach their job, right? And things that they would do in their job. And we had food, and we had music. No, I didn't have music, but we wanted music. We talked about it. Right. But families came, and we probably had, I want to say, like, maybe 10 families that came, which sounds successful, but we wanted more. We had a lot of schools that were participating, and we thought more were going to come. And so what we are doing, instead of scrapping the event because we thought it was great and it was something that the community needed, we are just going to just reevaluate, you know, maybe plan it out for a different time period next year, maybe do it instead of in the fall, in January where it's less busy, or do it, you know, in March or whenever it is. But that's one of our biggest, I guess, barriers is attendance. And they say, you know, if you feed them, they'll come. The time they just didn't come. So I think it was bad timing. But
well, that's it hurts too, to an extent, because, you know, and this probably rings true for a lot of coordinators, especially if you've been in the game for a long time. At some point in your coordinator career, you have gone above and beyond for some type of activity or program, and the participation just was not there. Mm-hmm. And that really is the most, like, anxiety driven thing, is getting ready to have a program. I think I talked about that before, maybe in the first episode when we ran that transition night event. It was something that had never been done here before. We were looking at the sign up list, and there was only 30 families that were signed up. So I was like, you know, I'm talking to Ian. I'm like, dude, we only got 30 people that are coming here. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then I'm pulling up with 200 tacos in the back, and there's 150 people that are sitting in the cafeteria. So it's like, it really is hard in some capacity to kind of wonder what that participation is going to look like. I've dealt with that here so far, and trying to reevaluate how I can best get the excitement out of the kids. I've ran, I want to say, three after-school programs that were just extracurriculars. We've done an anime group for sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. We did the after school group that was just kind of the same concept of getting kids together to kind of invite them to play games. And it was targeted towards sixth grade, just to kind of get a chance to meet the sixth graders before the school year started. And then the other one was the MMA that was by School Aid. And all three of them, really, like, the first week, great attendance. Obviously, the kids are excited about it. And then you realize, like, the kids start to forget. The announcements weren't on there. So they're like, oh, I forgot that we had it yesterday. Or my parents said I couldn't come yesterday because I got in trouble. And it's like, okay, like, cool. I don't mind that. But at the same time, like, I would prefer that you guys just communicate that with me. Like, if you're in trouble, communicate it with me. Your parents signed the form that specifically says, if you don't show up for three times unannounced, like, we have the right to remove you from the program. If your participation in school is not up to par, you have the right to get removed from this program. And so, like, I took January off to not run any programs, specifically to sit down, take a look at my participation, because anime is something that I run throughout the entire year. So I'm going to have to find a way to get the kids to consistently show up, to consistently participate. But then I have some other newer programs that I'm planning on bringing in the spring that I do need participation, because they are stat driven in terms of academic success in that program. And so if I don't have the consistency, it's all for naught. And so that was something that I did not have issues with before. And so I'm like, okay, now being at a new location, like, what is it that is causing this disconnect? Like, do we need to announce it more? Do I need to get these kids together on a consistent basis at lunch and say, hey, we're meeting today, so you guys don't forget, call your parents before the end of the day, make sure they know to come pick you up at 3:45 or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll just barricade myself outside the door and be like, no, you come here, you're in our group today. But that I definitely agree. That's one of the struggles that I've seen a lot of. Yeah. What about you? Do you have anything that you've struggled with?
You guys hit two of the big ones that I've seen, attendance and like the effect of consistency. And those two things tie hand in hand. And as you guys are sharing stories, you're sharing your advice, I just think about the one time I was doing this program and we had nobody show up.
Like none?
Nobody showed up.
Oh,
period.
I probably would have cried.
And me and the two teachers that were there to run this program, and we knew like it was going to be low numbers. Like we knew like maybe at most, if we were lucky, it'd be like 10 families. But we had, I think, people RSVP, and we had like 5 or 6 families that were supposed to show up that night. And we're like, all right, well, we'll still do this. We had set up the entire library for these different stations that families could go through and have this little family night with their kids. I had gotten some snacks and things like that, and nobody showed up. And so just for the fun of it, we're frustrated. But of course, being big kids, we went through and we played every single game.
Absolutely.
And we took pictures.
Go to waste.
So we had ourselves a snack and just also took time to just recap. And we started to know, like, all right, this is a trend where we're getting less and less participation. And it's because maybe we're doing way too many programs and we need to do fewer. I mean, all of them were high quality and the content what we're providing, but our families, it's like, we can't commit to doing it this much. Right. We need to dial back. And so that's what that time allowed us to do, is to look and dial it back and then also present that to other people who are really encouraging us to do more of like, hey, we really need to dial it back. And here's one of the reasons why. And I think things, I don't think things did change after that, of like how much we were doing certain stuff for those families in that age group of students that we were trying to reach. And so I would say, and this is going into our tips and tricks, and this is the one thing I want to share to coordinators, is when things don't go your way or how you envisioned it, don't let that stop you from keeping on doing the work. You review it, you learn from it, and you move forward. And also in that process, as you're learning from it and you're moving forward, talk to other people about that event and that program and your frustration, and ask them to be not just a listener, but someone that's willing to come alongside you and give you encouragement and help you maybe process how to make that program better. Or maybe you need to cancel that program. You need to focus your energy on something else that your students, your families need.
Yeah. So, maybe even, you know, you can ask, like, put in some, like, a post survey, like, to the ones that RSVP'd, like, yeah, hey, you didn't come. We hate you now. Why didn't you come? No, you just feel like, but you know what, you know, please give me a reason out of this list or your own reason why you didn't come, so we can prepare better next time. You know,
yeah.
Even to the whole school or to just RSVPs or whatever you want to do. But that would be good data to move forward with.
I think in a lot of instances, you know, as we wrap up, we do have to think too, in terms of parents, like, there's things that come up all the time. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like you said last night, like, your kid got sick in the middle of the night, like, stuff like that happens all the time. So, you know, as much as it hurts that, you know, if we put in to action things that we want to see or things that we expect to get done, especially if it is something that parents ask for or students ask for, and then you don't get participation. It's kind of like, okay, you know, like, hey, this hurts, this sucks, but also like, what are the reasons? Instead of just saying like, oh, they must hate me. That might not necessarily be the case. But I would definitely say too, David, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but like working with people in your building to ensure, like, have that conversation with your admin too. Like, what are some programs that they want to see? Maybe there's some things that they're interested in seeing in the building. And then that way, that's one way you can get the participation from them as well. I never had that previously. And I think that that's where a lot of things kind of went awry with participation, is that, you know, if you're able to see from the outside as an admin what it is that your Frisk are doing on a regular basis, and also trying to cooperate with them, help them out on their programs. I said the first, when we did that transition, and I walked in and my entire admin team was serving tacos. Like, that blew my mind, because I was telling them beforehand, they were like, do you need anything from us? I'm like, no, you guys can go home. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm used to doing this by myself. And they showed up and were back there slinging tacos. I was like, hey, yes, this is awesome.
Slinging tacos.
Nice.
But I think that that's a big piece, is that if you're able to work with your staff, your admin, talk to your teachers, maybe there are things your teachers might want in their classroom in terms of activities or something. I love the takeover thing. I was actually something that Ian had offered, and we just didn't get a chance to do it this year, but moving forward, that's something that I'd like to do. So talk to your admin, talk to your staff, talk to your teachers, talk to the kids, the parents, get all that information and put together some great programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
I guess one more tip I have is, like, people are going to ask about incentives. I already hear it. I can hear you all saying, well, why don't y'all offer some incentives? Give them a science center membership or something like that. Look, that don't always work. Let's be honest. That doesn't always work. But that's not something that you should take off the table. But that's all I had. That's all I had.
All right. Well, we will catch you all on the next episode of the Frisky Business Podcast. We appreciate you guys for listening as always. Make sure you like and subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Until next time, we will see you all later.